Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are
Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. This is the Macho Man Randy Savage, and that's the only place to listen to wrestling, I do believe. Yes, dig it, yeah.
Of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am the host, Double D, the Dean of Credibility, and you can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, everyone get excited. Woo-hoo! It's the above average comedian, Dan the Man Calachico. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm fine. I am the co-host of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. You find me at DanLaw83.
And before I welcome our next guest, I have something for him.
Like those restaurants you go out to.
Yeah.
But you don't want them to think what they do.
With us for our wrestling and MMA conversations, two days away from his birthday, it's Omega Squad Chris Green. How are you, sir?
Greetings, puny humans.
You're 50, right?
I am 50. 50-something.
52.
Same age as me. I'm yeah. Simply a month. Almost 2 months older.
Yeah.
So. You're 52?
No.
Yes.
We are both 37 and more mature.
37?
Yes, more mature than many other folk out there.
We're 37. We're not old. So.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. So we
get to make it.
I get it.
You can read the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. You can also like the Facebook, facebook.com/HIACTalkRadio. And that's that. So, guys, you know what? You can also call in 718-664-9133. Go ahead.
I was going to say, unless you're Mighty Mouth, don't call it.
I don't know what's going on between you two, and frankly, I don't care.
He's a little girl.
I really don't care what's going on between you two. Just saying. Well, there you go. So, now, originally tonight, we were going to be joined by the American Psycho.
Stephen Bonner?
No, Alex Payne.
Oh, the other American Psycho.
Yeah, the other one. And he,
Christian Bale?
No. I made the mistake. I've been moving, yada, yada. So I didn't get to him until Monday night.
Moving with nobody's help.
Pretty much.
That's one of the points I made.
Yeah, pretty much. You know what? I Slim Burgundy did come over, and he proceeded to tweet the entire time. He
lifted a box, right? Or wait, did he?
No, he didn't even lift a box. No, he tweeted, and
the box, I thought he would lift, because the box actually has corners to it, unlike Earth.
Get off the corner kick.
Get off the corner kick. It pisses him off. I like it.
Yeah, but,
I got it.
Get off the corner kick.
No, I don't have to.
Not a fan.
You're not my dad.
Not a fan of it.
You're not my real dad.
That could be.
Anyway, he tweeted it. Oh, really?
So, Alex Payne will not be joining us. We will be joined, however, by the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont, who had one heck of a match this past week, Dan.
Yes, he did, and pre-match, and post-match, too.
Yeah, so he, of course, wrestled Crazy Ivan in a lumberjack match.
Dude, when those two get in the ring, man, everybody's in danger.
You know,
the ref, the fans, get out of the way.
The lumberjacks.
That was interesting to be in the middle of that.
Yeah, you actually were. What was your perspective of that? I didn't even think of it until you just said it. Of course, at the time I did, but what was that like in the middle of all that chaos?
It's pretty frantic because you got guys, and this is a half-work calf shoot, you got guys that are yelling at each other from the other side of the ring. And you got guys, it's kind of chaotic, because you got them yelling at the guys in the ring, too. And it's pretty harrowing to be in between the ring and 15 other guys, knowing that at any moment you could be tossed upon. The shoot part of it, as I had Mike Madoff move me out of the way very politely at the last second before Ivan got tossed out of the ring.
Well, that was nice of Mr.
He literally came up to you. Nobody saw it. He just walked up next to me and goes, "You should probably move."
You should go over there.
And I moved, and literally in my place, when I turned around, Ivan was like, it's like, oh, it's that. So, and for those who know that, who have filmed New Moon, is myself and my cousin. My cousin's 19 years old, but she's really tiny. So I refused to let her get in the middle of the, you stay outside, I'll stay inside, and don't worry about me. Just don't get in there.
She was actually moved by Sienna DePaul. Sienna came up to her at one point, and I don't know what was said, but it looked like Sienna was directing her a little bit.
Oh, good. Because, well, you know, it must have been good because she mentioned somebody was helping her so she didn't get killed.
Yeah, I believe it was Sienna. Sienna kind of looked out for her. Sienna is an angel.
Thank you, Sienna, for looking after my little cousin. That's good. Thank you.
A little angel.
She got good stuff, from what I hear. And I got, you know, I was in the middle of it. I was within inches. So it was, it's very chaotic. To answer your question, one word answer is chaotic.
Very chaotic.
I mean, it's not like you lose track of what's going on. It's just that everybody is going after you.
And, of course, Bandito, who earlier in the night made his New Moon debut, he was very animated during this match.
Oh, he's awesome.
Very animated, flipping out. He was cheering on Ivan. And, well, I'll tell
you. Very, very excited.
You could really say, I mean, he was a hoot.
90% of the time I was trying not to laugh and film him on camera.
He came back.
All you see on camera is me trying to film going, I try not to laugh.
He came back during during that match, and actually it was during the pool part. And actually Ivan reached out and he grabbed me, and horrible events happened there. But Bandito, after they pulled Ivan away, took him back to the insane asylum or wherever he goes, Bandito's like, "Do you see this? Do you see this? He bit me right there. He bit me." And sure enough, there were teeth marks.
Oh, no, he bit him. I got that right on camera. I was right in their face. He bit him, too.
I mean,
he grabbed, literally looked like a cartoon cat grabbing a chicken and just you know, he opened his mouth. He just put it down right on his...
Very, very scary situation for...
Yeah, he had all his shots.
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
I no.
All I know is Bandito was 5 seconds away from being, to coming out to Viva Vida Luca from...
He really should have.
He was 3 seconds away, and I No, he's not being serious. There was another...
Of course that was a rib.
There was another big man back there that was going, no, he said it was okay. And I'm like, no, it's not okay. It's not coming out in the...
It would have been great. You ruined a moment.
Oh.
You ruined a moment, Dan.
Well, you know, it would have been better than the Tupac song where there's cursing before he got out the ring.
Oh, really? Was there?
Oh, yeah. There was...
Well, speaking of cursing, I don't mean to cut you off.
Oh, he's on?
No, not yet. But speaking of cursing,
during
Matt Tremont's post-match diatribe, I guess you could say, he was a little caught on the moment.
I knew it was going to happen. As soon as he happened, I'm like, oh, shit. This is not good. He's fired up. He's got the adrenaline pump. This is going to suck.
No, I don't think it sucked. It was a very good promo, but...
I don't know the promo. I was talking about language content. It's going to suck.
He said something about what something or other and dropped an F-bomb. So...
Are you in the middle of the effing proving grounds? Oh!
Oh! Oh, Matt. Caught
proving
up...
grounds and wolf penis.
Caught up in the moment. Caught up in the moment. I'll tell you.
If you looked around where I was, like I said, because it was the lumberjack, there were still a bunch of guys I was kind of in the center of. And when he said it, there was kind of literally a collective, okay, back to what we were doing. Like, oh, crap.
But a good time. Of course, that match ended in the 15-minute time limit draw.
I'm just saying, Cliff, if you're listening, I would have apologized a little better than that. But sorry for the bad language we just experienced there. Oh.
You know what happens.
Oh, it was epic. It was really, yes, I stole that line. It was epic.
I'll tell you, it was a good time. It was a good time for everyone involved.
Those two in the ring. Again, we said it last time they wrestled. For those who don't know, Ivan's passed, but there's those out there who, many people who know Tremont's passed, and know that, you know, if you got light tubes and chairs, you're all good, but when he goes in the ring and he actually wrestles and fights, it's a thing to behold. I don't think it's going to last. They have one match, we'll talk about it later, but they got one match coming up.
May 18th.
And we can talk about it now, right? No DQ.
Yeah, no DQ. Falls count anywhere. I think
it's not going to be much wrestling in that match.
I think it's going to be Delsey Drive. The pinfall will take place on Delsey Drive.
We don't have that kind of technology.
Just follow them. You know what? The commentary won't be that good, but we won't be able to see anything.
They're outside. Brady, how are you?
They're still outside.
They're still outside. Well, you know, he did clarify, fall count anywhere in the proving grounds.
Oh, okay. So
I believe he said it like that, so I think we're safe.
Okay. But I thought he'd say that falls count, you know. Anyway, he said if it ends on the middle of 47.
That's right, he did.
Yeah.
But
then again, he was so fired up, he might not know what he's talking.
I'm sure if the fine folks over at the Scoop Slam will be able to clarify the match before it comes out.
I would certainly hope so. If we can get to a regular scooting
scooting.
Yeah, we have to scoop for the Scoop Slam.
Scoop Slam.
I mean, if we get onto a regular shooting schedule, sure. I would love to clarify that for everyone.
With dodgeball.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Dodgeball.
I've been on. He's been on the league for 5 years. As if, whatever. So what else is going on, guys? We got a birthday. We got F bombs. What else is going on?
We got C bombs.
C-bombs.
I'm drinking alcohol.
Is that all you do now? You want to take over Mark's spot or something?
Why I show up?
I show up and I'm sober. I don't feel good. Tweet beer.
Yeah. He doesn't use that app anymore, it seems.
That got him into trouble.
Well, no. He was using it for quite some time, but it's like Foursquare. Once you download Foursquare, you're checking it everywhere. It's so fun.
Yeah, I know. And then after you know, there was a guy I was I downloaded Foursquare, and I was the only one that was checking into the fire department. And one of the guys that found out did it would always just go there just to check in. And I was like, oh, this is stupid. I hate this. I don't want to play a game. So I deleted it, and I still get up for your friend is now the mayor of Route 47 in Deptford. I don't care. The mayor of the street, I'm real happy about this.
I'm happy for you. You know, you checked it there more than I did.
That means you pass by a lot.
Now, Omega Squad, I
his name is Chris.
Wait a second. I think our guest is on. I just have to double check first because I don't recognize it. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
I would be from Atlantic City, New Jersey, if that means anything.
Okay. I'll get right back to you, sir.
I know
who that is.
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
I know who that is. But, okay. Dan, it's about that time to bring on our guest. I know Omega Squad, we'll get back to it. I was going to talk about Benson Henderson and his proposal.
Oh. Okay.
But we'll get back to it.
We'll get back there.
My brain hurts so much right now.
I'm sure it's the drinking, Dan. But right now.
I just started. Christ's sake.
But we got the bulldozer, Matt Tremont.
Woohoo!
Atlantic City, New Jersey. It is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. Welcome to the show tonight, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Good. You, of course, with Dan and Chris. And I just want to start out with this past Saturday because you crazy Ivan 15-minute draw lumberjack match. What are your thoughts about that one?
It was the first encounter. Everybody knows what happened, which led to the lumberjack match this past Saturday. Was looking forward to it a lot, and I think we definitely gave the crowd their money's worth on Saturday at New Moon, and proceeded to go to a 15-minute time limit draw, and just like right there on the spot, it's not over. So I'm hoping everybody comes back to the proving grounds on May 18th, and watches me and Ivan destroy each other for a third time, and this time no holds barred, no DQ, no time limit, false count anywhere. I'm going to drag his carcass all the way to the middle of Delcy Drive and back.
I just saying, anybody whoever came up with a 15-minute time limit should be fired, Don Warren. Do you hear the countdown going on when you're in the ring, or do you just hear the bell ring and that's it, or do you not even hear that until you get pulled apart?
the bell rang, the time was over. I was flustered at the time being, but we just continued to fight. And I knew at that point in time it's not over. Me and Ivan have built up a rivalry now at New Moon. I enjoy New Moon a lot. I'm working there, and I'm really looking forward to our third encounter on May 18th.
No, I asked a similar question last time, Matt, but do you really think this is going to be enough? He's nuts.
Yeah.
Do you really think this is going to be enough to end this feud?
I hope so. Falls got anywhere. You know, we've been around that building. We've been in the ring on the outside. We've choked each other around ringside. We've been up close and personal with the fans. Now we're going to get up close and personal with Bedford, New Jersey on May 18th.
Oh, great. Don't go too far because I can't follow you guys.
Well, he's in the middle of Delsey Drive, so.
I hope New Moon has insurance.
Well.
So do we.
Let's cancel this match then.
Now, Matt. May 11th, I believe that's your next, the next time you're in action, correct if I'm wrong.
Yeah. I'll be in action Friday for the CZW NBA charity show in Northeast Philly, me and Danny Havoc, and then after that's all said and done, CZW returns May 11th with the doubleheader with Women's Superstars Uncensored.
Oh, okay, so let's talk about this Friday then. The NBA show, of course, it's for the GIs. You get in for a $10 donation. You and Danny Havoc. What are your thoughts going into that one?
We have real good chemistry in the ring. We fought in Alabama, West Virginia, CZW. It's the first time I've been in the ring with him in quite some time. But he's my favorite opponent that I've been able to get in the ring with so far in this business. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully for a good cause, and we're the main event in what's being dubbed an on combat match, which I have no idea what I'm walking into on Friday, but that should be fun. I hope a good crowd comes out to support CZW and the Maven Bentley Association, and me and Danny Havoc will most likely beat the living piss out of each other for the combat zone faithfuls entertainment.
Now, Matt, I have a question back about New Moon real quick, about this last weekend. I'm not judging you. I want to preface this next question by saying that, because I got one of the foulest sailor mouths ever in the world. When you're after the match, you said some naughty things.
I did.
My question is, when you're in the ring, I mean, honestly, when you're in the – I don't care what anybody says. Wrestlers have bodies second to none as far as being able to take a beating and being able to go – long periods of time without taking a rest. At that point, you guys have fought 15 minutes. You've been pulled apart. Your adrenaline's pumping. Honest question. Do you know what you said at the time, or is it all a blank until after somebody goes, hey, you're fired?
When you have a glorious being like Wolfcock painted on that wall staring at you, it's really hard to say anything at that point in time. me and Ivan just beat the piss out of each other for 15 minutes, and I knew I had to say something, just like I did a few months before after our first match. And I don't remember anything I said. All I know is I promised punishment and pain and brutality, just like we've been delivering on the first two occasions, and that's what they're going to get on May 18th. And I apologize to the youngsters that were in that were at the Proving Grounds on Saturday for my foul language.
How long does it, after you get to the back, how long does it take to wind down when you're finally back to, how long does it take you to come back to Earth with the rest of us, Matt?
Probably once you're in the car and the door shut and you're on your way back home, just thinking about the night that just ensued. And I was really proud of our performance on Saturday. I thought me and Ivan had a good one. I thought it was better than our first match. So I was feeling real good about myself, and that's 100% from the heart. I was very, very happy about The show in general, I saw New Moon from top to bottom put on a good show. Bandito Jr. was in the house, and, you know, there's a real good three-way tag match. So, like, New Moon put on a good show from, you know, start to finish, and then me and I even had a good one. So, you know, I was real happy. You don't really wind down until, you know, I got in the car and you're almost home and, you know, just think about, you know, the trials and tribulations of the evening. But I liked everything, and, you know, I'm calmed down now, so to speak. But come May 18th, it's going to be, you know, the volume will be turned up 110% again.
All right. Now, of course, May 11th, we go there, and it's a WSU CZW double shot is the best way I can put it. It starts at 4 p.m. Of course, that's at the Flyer Skate Zone. Now, you're involved in the WSU show. It's one of their premier events, if you will, with the King and Queen tournament, and you're in it. What are your thoughts going into that?
Pretty cool. I'm aware of the show's history, and, you know, it's been they've done it quite a few times, and I don't know if this is the first or second time under the WSU banner that they've done this show. I don't know all the complete history of the tournament, but I'll be tagging with Canada's own Addie Starr, who's one tough bad bitch. She's been in the Lego death matches up for Interspecies Wrestling, so she's made quite a name for herself in the last, you know, 6 months to a year. So I know me and her cut a promo when I was in Cleveland a couple weeks back for this tournament, and now I'm looking forward to it. Scars and Stripes is going to win the whole thing come May 11th.
Oh, is that the name that you picked for the team, or?
I think someone dubbed us that on Twitter, and I saw it, and she liked it, and I liked it, so, you know, Scars and Stripes it is.
Okay, now, later on, for CZW, you already promised, we're going to see the most violent act in the history of CZW.
Yeah.
What? I don't want the plans, because, of course, that would ruin what would happen.
No spoilers.
But what do you have in store for Joe Gacy that night?
Well, I mean, if no one has been up to date with the latest at the Combat Zone, me and Gacy have been going at it now since the 14th anniversary show, where I stuck my nose in the after the main event ensued back in February, and I went after Joe, and we proceeded to beat the hell out of each other. Four-way match in March where I cost him his shot at the title, he cost me my shot at the title, and then at WrestleCon in Secaucus, New Jersey, we had our first one-on-one encounter, and big weekend, WrestleMania weekend, big WrestleCon show, and when it was all said and done, Joe Gacy had me in a submission, and I passed out in a pool of my own blood, and he got the victory. And last month, I went out there to face Ron Mathis, because I was bored and looking for a fight and wanted to fight somebody, and he proceeds to come out and say some negative things about somebody that I looked up to at the Combat Zone, which ensued us to fight again. So on May 11th, it's going to be a cultivation of all the stuff that's happened so far, and like I said, I promised one of the most, if not the most violent act in the history of the Combat Zone come May 11th.
Now, why Joe Gacy? I mean, is it just because he interfered and there was a lot of this stuff going on? Well, besides Joe being a douchebag, what exactly is it? I mean, is it just that he's the guy that's been around and you feel if you get through Joe, then you've proven yourself again? Because you went through DJ all last year, and now are you just picking on another guy that's been around, another veteran of CZW?
Not in particular. I mean, our paths have crossed the last few months. And what has just seemed to go out there and do business has become, I guess, it started to become a little personal. And when a man leaves another man in a pool of his own blood, he's got a lot to think about. And like I said, come May 11th, a deadly doubleheader at the back of the Skate Zone in Voorhees. And Joe Gacy just seems to, you know, he's on my radar right now. I'm on his. And we're going to come to blows on May 11th.
How the heck do you prepare to wrestle twice in a day?
I've done it before when I have the opportunity to do like the deathmatch tournaments. You know, sometimes you do 2 to 3 matches in one day within a tournament. So I'm used to that. It's happened before, so I'm used to it and prepared for it. You know, potentially wrestling 3 times in the afternoon when me and Abby Starr are gonna plan on winning the whole damn thing come the WSU tournament, and then later at night the Combat Zone. So mentally and physically, more than prepared to walk into the skate zone on multiple occasions on May 11th.
I mean, Do you do anything different during that day, or just, you know, play it by ear, take it 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time?
That's about it. You know, day by day, minute by minute, once I get to the skate zone, try to get somewhat mentally prepared and get focused on the task at hand. And then, first off the bat is the WSU tournament. Me and Abby Starr, we're going to do all we can to walk out with multiple W's in the trophy at the end and be the king and queen of WSU.
Hey, you wrestled more than one ultra-violent hardcore match in a day?
Yes, yes.
How are you not dead, man?
I've said it before, you know, I knew what I got myself into in this genre and style of this sport, so it definitely takes a physical toll. Especially, you know, when you do multiple matches in a short time span. So it'll definitely beat you up physically, but hopefully at the end it's all worth it. And try to walk out of there alive when it's all done.
There's athleticism, and then there's that. That's insane, because I've busted my head open 3 times, and that was it for me for the day. I was done. Like, thank you very much, I got my stitches, I'm going to sleep now. And you do it multiple times. That's insane. That's a breed of man that I'll never understand.
Yeah, well, there's men in this world and there's boys. Nothing against you fine. So you did take a nice chair shot, I believe, one not too long ago from yours truly, and you held your own. But there's boys in this world, and then there's men, and that's what separates us at the end of the day.
No, I understand you. I understand you 100%, and I will gladly let you take the light tube shots, and I'll just take pictures.
Now, we already talked a little bit about New Moon on the 18th. Of course, it's that big, hopefully, the final encounter, because, frankly, my heart can't take it. So, the following week, back at the Proving Grounds, May 25th, On Point Wrestling returns.
Yep.
And you have Low Life, Louis Ramos, who interjected himself during the match in January, when you were wrestling Homicide. So you have Low Life, Louis Ramos. Your thoughts on that match coming up?
Louis, in my mind, one of the respected hardcore, you know, icons that, you know, have been in the game a long time. Another guy I grew up watching and respected his line of work and what he's done and who he's wrestled. Louis's been around a long time. He was, you know, when it comes to like North Jersey and New York, you know, hardcore mainstays, he's one of them. And he was one of the pioneers of the early Jersey All Pro Wrestling days. And I'm really looking forward to the match. You know, we haven't put up too much about what the Squared Circle House of Horrors match is, but, you know, come May 25th, when the structure is complete and the main event's ready to go, the crowd will hopefully see something they haven't seen before. No prior beef or past between us, except, like you said, during the Homicide match. Louis was present during the match. He was at the commentator's table calling the matchup, and while me and Homicide were brawling throughout the Proving Grounds, our paths crossed, and I was knocked into him, and I don't know if he thought it was an inadvertent or on purpose. And then after the match was over, he was in the ring. He got involved during the match, and you know, I think it's a formula now. You know, he wants to get involved. He wanted to call me out afterwards, so it's the perfect formula for one of hardcore wrestling's pioneers to take on one of its up and coming guys, and hardcore eras do truly collide on May 25th when On Point Wrestling returns to Destin, New Jersey.
Now, it's really, like you said, it's two extremes that you have here. Of course, Low Life Ramos has been around for years. You're really just starting out. I mean, you, what is it, 2 years, 3 years in the business?
4 years. I'm in my fourth year now in professional wrestling, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was two. I don't know where I got two from. I had the number two in 99.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
Okay, so the fourth year. A fourth-year guy, and Louie's been around seemingly forever, especially Jersey All-Pro, that sort of thing. So now, do you think he still has it? This is an important question, I think. Do you think he still has it? Is this match going to deliver, do you feel?
For a guy like myself and what we do, and I can't speak for Louis, but this sport and this style of wrestling, it never leaves you. And Louis in good shape. He hasn't done a lot of hardcore wrestling, I would say, the last few years, but he started to trickle back into the sport the last few months, 6 months to a year. You know, he's been tag teaming with Monster Mac up in North Jersey, New York area. So it never leaves you. I'm expecting Louis to bring 110%, and I'm looking to go toe to toe with one of the, one of the hardcore icons of independent wrestling. And I know he'll be more than ready to go toe to toe come May 25th.
All right. Now the rest of the card. You've been announcing, well, not you, but On Point Wrestling has been announcing different competitors that are involved in the four-way match. Just tonight, you had another announcement. Who's involved in this four-way match so far?
The Fantastic Four-Way is what On Point Wrestling is looking to be. It's stable match. We had the first one at the debut show in January, which in my eyes, stole the show. That had Anthony Cortez Haynes. In my eyes, he became a star that night in that four-way, along with LJ Cruz, the returning Amasis. That was Amasis' first match back in wrestling since his time away, and Nathan Avery. They really had a good match at the first show. So On Point, really look to make that match its stable match, and they're bringing it back on May 25th. And thus far, three guys have been announced: Latin Dragon, Amasis, and just tonight, one of the he's under the radar, but he's an up and coming luchador on the indie scene in Mascara, and it's definitely shaping up so far to be a high flying aerial assault type action for that four way on May 25th. So. Definitely that match right now on paper looks really good. We got one more guy is yet to be announced, and next Wednesday night, the fourth and final entrant for the four-way will be announced. As for the rest of the card, it's slowly coming together. Officially announced so far is obviously myself and Louis, and then the other marquee matchup on the show is the big tag team match. Pinky Sanchez and Drew Blood collide once again. We thought it was over back in January, but after the main event was over, Pinky super kicked Drew Blood, and it looks like Blood was thicker than water, and it's going to continue. And Loudy, along with his two clients, Drew Blood and Xavier Cross, issued a challenge to Pinky to find a tag team partner. And of all the people in the world, he had to travel to the edge of insanity, and he found former Ring of Honor and Chikara star in Delirious. So it's Delirious and Piggy Sanchez taking on highly entertaining wrestlers with Loudy on 5/25, and they're one of the one of the tag teams that are still going under the radar that are really really good and coming together. They've worked the New Moon and several other wrestling promotions so far, but on 5/25, I believe that would be their biggest tag team match together so far, and for them to take on Pinky Sanchez and Delirious. And Delirious don't work a lot of places. He's only wrestled at Chikara and Ring of Honor, and to have him be able to work the second On Point show and grace the locker room with his presence, and he's a ring veteran. So to have him there, I think helps On Point in the short term and the long term. The other match announced right now is Mr. On Point himself, who won that moniker last year when we did our underground untelevised, whatever tournament you want to call it. That's where he first won to become Mr. On Point. And he was asking for top challengers and top competition to defend his moniker and prove to the whole world that he is on point. And now he's being joined by his manager, John Harder, to ensue professionalism on the wrestling world. And he'll be going one-on-one with Nation of Intoxication's Devin Moore. So it'll be Leon St. Giovanni versus Devin Moore on May 25th. So those are the first four matches that have been announced thus far. Rory Mondo's still to appear. Monster Mac, Good News Hughes, and Shane Strickland, Mike Drastek. Like, there's a lot of good established veterans on this show. We're bringing in new guys, up-and-coming talent. So May 25th should, you know, blow the roof off the Proving Grounds again. I believe it's a stronger and better card than what On Point presented on the table the first time. So it truly is, nothing else matters on May 25th. We're coming to knock down the doors on the wrestling world once again with a little bit of everything. You're going to get high-flying, you got your hardcore, you have your technical guys, and you have a lot of guys you haven't heard of that are looking to make a splash on May 25th, and then you have your established ring veterans that are, you're coming there for the first time, war returning, to continue to do what they do and prove overall and once for all that they truly are on point.
All right, my last question, because you really covered it well there, is will there be a Sideshow Pro exhibition match?
Yes, Sideshow Pro will be in the house once again. I've heard ramblings of another tag team match that will happen at the show. Who is in it from Sideshow Pro? I couldn't tell you, but Sideshow Pro, they've been good friends to us, as well as New Moon Rising has been since On Point has started. So Sideshow Pro will 100% be in the house at Nothing Else Matters on May 25th.
Hey, Matt, you ever see a weekend coming up and just look at the dates and go, I'd rather take a break, or are you just in this 100% at this point?
100%. I've out of this year so far, I may have not worked the show maybe one or two weekends, and sometimes you're like, you're looking forward to the break, you can heal up, and then when you're sitting here, you're just like, I just want to punch somebody, I want to wrestle. You get bored, so you kind of like, you look forward to sometimes taking a break being able to rest the body, but at the same time, for me, from, you know, Atlantic City Kid, this is survival. This is how I put food on my table and support myself and, the family. So, you know, that's how the money gets made, and that's how, you know, dreams come true when you go out there and perform. So, got CZW this weekend. The following weekend, I don't have anything going on. And then from that point on, once CZW and the WSU doubleheader comes to town, I'm pretty booked up and got a lot of work going on, and I'm looking forward to getting in the ring and, you know, partaking in whatever's being thrown at me on those weekends. But yeah, definitely when there's nothing to do, I get bored. The bulldozer has nothing to do, and he wants to get in there and have some fun.
All right, now just recently, a DVD chronicling your life so far in the wrestling world came out. Now, I've heard great things about it. I haven't gotten it yet, but do you care to say a few words about the DVD that just came out, Best on the Indies?
A big thanks to, you know, those who put that together for me, and Smart Mark Video. They're, you know, one of the, if not the top distributor and producer of, you know, wrestling on the independents today. And I was able to sit down with them on a beautiful January afternoon before the January CCW show this year. And, be able to, you know, for just being in the business for a little over 4 years now, it was pretty cool to me to sit down and tell my story so far. So, I mean, if you picked up the DVD from Small Mark or from me at a show so far, I appreciate the support as always. And, you get to listen to me talk and stare at my beautiful forehead for 3 hours and watch a few of my matches, you know, that I've had so far in my short career. And if you've picked it up, I appreciate it. If you haven't, I'll have some copies with me at whatever show I'm at. If not, you can download it on MP4 and buy the DVD at smartmarkvideo.com.
I never noticed anything wrong with your forehead, man.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with your forehead. What are you talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So to wrap this all up, I mean, you're very busy. You're taking on veterans and Crazy Ivan and Low Life Louie. You're really setting places on fire every place you go. I mean,
it's illegally.
This has to be a very exciting time for you. Now, like I said, last year and continuing into this year, you were taking on, you know, the DJ Hyde thing, but you were also taking on guys like Homicide and Tommy Dreamer. And I mean, and now it still continues into this year. I mean, what is this like for you? I mean, it has to be, what is it like for you?
last year, a lot of things just, you know, CZB gave me a ball to run with, and for me and DJ had that program, and then winning Masters of Pain, going to Germany. It was just a cultivation of a lot of things last year that made 2012, you know, very prosperous for me, and able to kickstart 2013 off on a good foot. You know, like you said, working, being able to be in the ring with Tommy Dreamer, the debuting finally, you know, the project became a reality with On Point Wrestling, and so on and so forth. And then the last month or two, in the last few weeks, things have really picked up. I really like working for the Upstart promotion, a New Moon, and the deal me and Ivan have going on there right now has been a lot of fun. The second On Point Wrestling show, anything to do with CZW, because it's where I always wanted to be. It's my home away from home. It is my home. And, you know, whatever the dub has me doing month in and month out, I am more than happy to do. And right now, the job at TASS seems to be Joe Gacy. So I'm looking forward to, you know, pretty much everything that's really going on right now. Like the Smart Mark DVD came out. So it's just like for a kid that's had a short career so far, and to be able to have all the opportunities that I've had, and the success that's transpired throughout of all of it, it's been pretty surreal. And I guess, you know, right place, right time, and, you know, when you keep to yourself and you just, you know, you do what you're told, and, you know, you just, you're humbled by every experience, and you're just happy to be around wrestling. You know, I don't take nothing for granted, just happy to be around it, and whatever's going to happen. And, yeah, I'm just I can't say anything bad about my, you know, any time in or around the ring. You know, I'm very happy with everything and all the companies I've been, you know, fortunate to work with so far, and really looking forward, because, I mean, we're only in April, and we're not even half done the year yet, and there's a whole lot more 2013 left, and I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah, of course, Tournament of Death is coming up on June 8th as well, in Delaware. We'll talk about that at another time as we get closer and as we find out who's in it and what's going on there. But, Matt, where can the people follow you, follow your career, and get to know you a little bit more?
At Tremont CZW on Twitter. I have a Facebook like page. I'm on Facebook. Just, you know, look for Matt Tremont. OnPointWrestling.com. I show a lot of the On Point because it's something I'm involved with, and you know, it takes up a lot of my time, and it's a company I enjoy helping out and trying to break out. So definitely check out On Point Wrestling on May 25th. Follow them on Twitter at On Point Wrestling. Check out OnPointWrestling.com. Pick up the first show at Smart Mark. Pick up the best of it, Smart Mark. Real quick, fan hit me up on Twitter. Shout out to Little Steve out there. He's listening to Hell in a Cell tonight, so I figured I'd do that real quick. But yeah, hey, then, you know, follow me all there. But if I had anything last thing to say, I keep to myself a lot of the times, and I don't get wrapped up in any kind of politics. But I figured you guys give me this forum to you know, express, you know, my feelings on stuff. But I will say this, that you can't start a riot by following someone else's footsteps. Well, I won't talk about anybody or any promotion in particular, but I just see how they do business, and quite frankly, it seems like somebody's ripping off the On Point playbook.
No.
I'll leave that at that, and that's it. I appreciate you.
Say it. Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
No,
I'm going to leave it there. Matt?
We don't need to get in the middle of that again, please.
Yeah, we're not. We're not going to get in the middle of anything, but I think I know what I know what you're talking about. We'll leave that lie. You said it. I'll make a sound bite for you. How's that? It could be your ringtone or something. Matt, it's always a pleasure to have you on. I look forward, of course, Hell in a Cell Talk Radio will be live for a pre-show on May 25th. We'll run down the card. And I look forward to that as well. I look forward to seeing you at all these shows. So you have a good night, man.
Take it easy, fellas. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, no problem. Have a good night, man.
Take it easy, guys.
So that was the Bulldozer Matt Trema, a very busy couple of weeks coming up for him.
Weeks?
A busy life he has.
Jeez.
A busy life. He's involved in death matches. He's involved in who knows what else is coming up on his plate.
Is he going to be alive for New Moon?
Well, he has, what, three shows before then?
You know, normal guys just say, "Yo, you know, I'm busy. I got, you know, things to go to." This guy say, "Ah, he's busy. He's going to death matches." Like, kind of an incongruous statement.
Yes,
you don't hear that much outside of wrestling circles.
You know, I'm glad you're talking, Omega. You know why?
Because it's time.
Oh, is it ever?
Hit my music.
So, Omega, over the weekend, there was UFC on Fox 7. And, of course, since it was UFC on Fox, Benson Henderson was in the main event.
Yes.
And, he won. It was very close.
It was extremely close. I actually thought he lost that fight.
You thought he lost.
I actually did. In contrary to everything I talked about last week about Gilbert Melendez not facing UFC quality opponents, he brought it to Benson Henderson.
That's one point I wanted to make. There's a lot of these Strikeforce guys coming over, and of course Cormier did earlier in the show, but a lot of these Strikeforce guys are coming over and they're proving that they belong.
I agree. It's interesting, you know, that, you know, we've seen this at least twice now with guys, the WEC guys, and now the Strikeforce guys, really starting to come into their own and really showing that they weren't just, you know, B-level organizations. These were actual guys, actual legitimate fighters.
Yeah, yeah. And Melendez, like you said, now what match I mean, what fight does he have to go into now to get a rematch? Because a lot of people, especially how the light heavyweight division is, that not light heavyweight, but the lightweight division is, it's automatic rematches usually. So what does he have to do to prove himself at this point?
Well, I mean, I think they've said that that the Gray Maynard and who's he fighting?
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. The winner of the Gray Maynard fight with whoever that is. God, I'm blanking on it right now. But yeah,
me too.
Yeah, they get the next fight. So the logical fight to me would be perhaps Melendez gets the loser.
They like doing that too, UFC. They like to put two losers against each other. And I don't mean it like that, but they lost their last fight. They like to put those people together and have a fight, see who comes out on top, who's more motivated or whatever.
But, you know, I think, you know, it's hard to say, you know, Gilbert Melendez really deserves to have the guy who lost. I would argue that maybe you give him someone who is coming off win. Maybe someone like Jeff Thompson, who put on a great show earlier in the night.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Again, we'll get to that. But I think that, I think Melendez is still in the conversation, very much in the conversation, but he's going to have to wait his turn. And, that's unfortunate, but I'm also not a fan of the quick rematch. We've seen that too much with the lightweight title in recent years.
And we've seen it way too much with Melendez, too, because he had a trilogy, if I'm not mistaken, while he was Strikeforce champion. Went back and forth.
Oh, well, yeah, you're completely right. So why would you do Josh Thompson 4? don't do that.
Yeah, so of course, Benson Henderson squeaks by, split decision. Gilbert Melendez proving that he should be there. Another guy who proved he should be there, Daniel Cormier, the heavyweight Grand Prix champion, defeating Frank Mir. Unanimous decision.
Yes, I here's the thing with this fight. I don't know if it was so much that Cormier proved that he was that good, or that Mir just proved that he just doesn't have it anymore. I really thought Mir did not come off well in this fight at all.
Well, this would be two in a row for Mir.
Yeah, and he just doesn't seem to have it. He backed him up. He was getting pushed around. I mean, this is a guy that came in at 250 something,
yeah.
And Cormier was pushing him all over the ring.
Well, Cormier, the one thing I can say about him, he is a very strong wrestler, and he just muscled him.
Yeah, I mean, credit to Cormier, and in fairness to Cormier, he is an Olympic caliber wrestler. But even just pushing the guy around in the clinch. Up against the cage, Mir couldn't keep his back off the cage.
Yeah,
and he was struggling to get anything going on, and obviously he didn't even really try that many takedowns, which was probably his only chance to make it happen. He probably should have at least tried to pull guard or something.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing. Mir didn't really fight to his strengths. It's like we said last week when we were talking about the fight originally. That Mir really had to get him on the ground, but we still weren't sure if he got him on the ground, if he could do anything with him. So,
yeah, I think Cormier's ranked high enough. I think he's number 3.
Yeah.
I think that he's fine to keep that for now. But I don't think he really proved too much coming out of this fight. He looked fine. He looked good. Don't get me wrong. He won the fight. Absolutely. But I wasn't.
So you say another win before he would get the eventual title shot to whoever that might be.
Well, I think you can sit there and you can say it with the way the UFC heavyweight division is right now. He may get a shot on the win because it seems like the next logical thing if Velasquez can't get past Junior Dos Santos again.
Well, what the next fight for Velasquez is Bigfoot.
Bigfoot, yeah.
And I would assume he'll get by him again. He handled him fine the first time. So then after that fight, is it the winner of Dos Santos and Hunt? I mean, would Hunt, if he beats Dos Santos?
I can't see putting Hunt in there.
Well, neither could I, but, I mean, if he beats Dos Santos somehow, I mean, he does have a striker's chance. He does have, you know, good hands. He is a kickboxer.
I think if Hunt somehow beats Judah Dos Santos, you put Cormier in that slot.
Okay, so him and Cormier.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
Would you have him and Cormier as a fight, or just?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on timing here. We're waiting, you know, we got as you said, Cain versus Silva here in a month. I think you go with you wait and see what happens in the title fight, and then you say, okay, well, what happens to Dos Santos when he fights? I mean, because that's in the same fight, so you got. Two major fights for the heavyweight division happening at UFC 160 between Blasquez and Silva and Dos Santos and Hunt. I think Dos Santos, if he wins, you put Cain up against him. So I still don't think Silva's going to win. I think we sit here and we talk about heavyweights. Cormier's kind of sitting in that number. I guess he's number two after this weekend. You sit there and say Cormier is probably the next logical one after Junior Dos Santos, but if Junior Dos Santos wins, he gets the next shot. So then you say Cormier versus Hunt, maybe that makes sense, or maybe Cormier versus something like Roy Nelson, assuming Roy Nelson gets past Chet Congo this weekend.
I mean a lot of good fights coming up, so and a lot to think about. Now a fight you were talking about earlier, Josh Thompson. Defeating Nate Diaz in spectacular fashion, the first person to knock out Nate Diaz.
I don't think I'm certain I've never seen a Diaz brother beaten that badly.
Well, certainly not.
Either one of them.
Well, you could make the case GSP really did break Nick's will. So
he broke his will, but he didn't put him away.
Mm.
You know, GSP, you know, stomped on Nick the whole time, but this was really. Nate got beat up a lot to the point where, you know, when Diaz's corner throws in the towel, that's bad.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there watching the fight, and I was, you know, begging the ref to call it.
Who was the ref for that?
I thought it was it Big John?
I'm not sure. Big John's usually good about that sort of thing, so.
It might not have been Big John. I'm not sure. But, you know, I thought Diaz was done before Thompson was on top of him. I thought it should have been stopped earlier, but it didn't happen, which is fine. You know, those things happened. It wasn't horrible, but if it got to the point where the corner was throwing in the towel, maybe it waited a bit too long.
Yeah.
But, you know, Thompson looked fantastic, looked really good. Nate Diaz really had nothing for him. Which is interesting for a guy who just fought for a title.
Yeah, yeah. But Thompson's another guy that's proving that he deserves to be there. And another guy, a resurgence in his career, Matt Brown defeating Jordan Meany. Second round DKO.
Another impressive KO win. Matt Brown looking good again, just coming back and looks better every time we see him. As I mentioned last week, he's always the guy that comes here and fight. I mentioned this fight as one to watch because, you know, Matt Brown always brings it. You know, even in losses, he brings it, but he is on a roll right now.
Yeah.
You know, in fairness, Jordan Meany took this on short notice, but he's a very good fighter as well. Just got overwhelmed by Matt Brown's aggressiveness. Matt looked great. Had all sorts of punching power and movement, and was really good. Looked really good. Is he ever going to get to the title?
No,
I just don't think he is. But you know, he's going to have a lot of fun along the way, and he can rack up some money from bonuses and being on TV cards and being on pay per view cards. I think he's going to have a great career. I just don't know if I can say that a 17-11 fighter is going to be a title contender.
Well, it's the same thing that I had the name right there, and it left me.
It went that fast.
It did. the guy, like Clay Guida.
Yeah.
It's just it's a lot like Clay Guida, where he's going to be an exciting fighter, but possibly won't get that. But Guida did have a title fight, and now where is he? Yeah. He's back where he has been, gatekeeper status. But anything on the undercard noteworthy?
Well, again, there was a lot of undercard fights that were came to some very good knockouts. Chad Mendez looked great facing Darren Elkins. Mendez is in the conversation for a title shot in the featherweight division. The one thing coming out of this card was all the Team Alpha male guys just showing some great striking. Really impressive, with Josh Thompson and with Chad Mendez and I think who's the other one? Joseph Benavidez, looking really great.
Yeah.
On the striking side, and that's all because of Dwayne Bang Ludwig coming in as their coach. And we saw it with Uriah Faber last week. You know, just the improvement in those guys coming from just being just wrestlers to actual guys mixing stuff up and striking. You know, something to watch as we go forward is anybody in Team Alpha Male, if they're starting to be a threat. Those are some crazy guys. But like I said, the other stuff, the Miles Jury KO was crazy. Ramzan Najem just came in and just walked into a right hand.
Oh, wow.
Just crushing. Just out, laying flat on his back. Crazy. It was a great KO. And then also, you know, like I said, some other KOs. TJ Dillashaw looked good with a KO. Yoel Romero looked real good. Flying knee spelled the end for Clifford Starks. It was one just quick flying knee hits Starks just as he's coming in for a takedown. Brutal knockout.
Mm.
Worth looking into. It was on the FX card.
Okay, so
some good stuff. I mean, this card delivered in a lot of ways, with the exception of maybe the Cormier Mir fight, maybe the Carmo Larkin fight. I think lots of great finishes and a very entertaining card all the way through.
Well, there were what, 7 knockouts or something?
Yeah,
7 knockouts.
Yeah.
Oh, 8 knockouts.
I think it was 8.
Yeah. Very exciting. That's what fight fans want to see. They want to see the finishes.
Yep.
They don't want to see those decisions, especially in title fights or main events. Kind of ironic because Benson Henderson, that ended in a...
Yeah, but that was a good fight. You can still have a good fight and go to decision.
Well, sure, sure. Of course, the best fight I thought I ever saw was Dan Henderson against... Hua. So, and that of course ended in 5-round decision. Anyway,
I did see that on a list of the top 10 fights you should show a new person who is new to MMA.
I really think that I finally picked up the DVD. It was like at FYE for I don't know $6.99 or something. I was like, yep, time to get it.
Send me the link, boys.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tremendous fight.
I'm serious. Send me the link.
Yeah, if it's out there, UFC is very diligent in keeping their fights off YouTube. And
what are the ratings for UFC on Fox compared to a Raw?
That's a good question. I think there's actually final ratings return, good results, let's see.
Yeah,
I'm bringing it up now.
The main crux of it was the Fox card did less than the previous card, but they did 3.31 million viewers.
Yeah.
Well,
it averaged 3.7 million viewers.
Yeah.
The initial ratings were reported at 3.31. So it actually, they upped it to 3.7.
Oh, they upped it to 3.7, okay.
And the show peaked during the main event with 4.7 million viewers.
That's pretty good.
And it ranked number one overall in the coveted 18 to 49 demographic.
I think that's is I'm not sure. That would probably be at least comparable with a middle of the road NFL game.
Probably. USC on Fox 5 last December averaged 4.4 million viewers, and UFC on Fox 6 was 4.2. So it's a little bit down from what it was, but you know what? I think they're doing pretty good for. It's kind of a up and down type thing because Fox 3 had 2.4 million viewers.
It's okay. Fox will still drop them. They always make good decisions like that.
Well, they for a while, so it's a pretty long.
Oh, give it time.
Well, it's a long it's a long contract that they have.
Good.
So they did well for the viewership, and now UFC 159 pay-per-view. That's the bread and butter of UFC. And it's a big one. This card is stacked, my friend. We'll start from the bottom. Well, we'll start with the preliminaries. Let's start with the preliminaries. Now, Facebook card, you have Leonard Garcia struggling, trying to have a career. He's taking on Cody McKenzie. What do you think about that one?
There's two guys that have struggled in the UFC. Both of these guys have struggled a lot.
Is this a loser leaves town?
No, because they're both these guys are. Well, Leonard Garcia has been around forever. He is what 2-6 in UFC, I think.
Something like that. Yeah.
He's like something like 2-6, and Cody McKenzie is like 2-5. So yeah, I think for McKenzie it's probably worse for McKenzie because Garcia always comes in brawls and those are the type of guys that they like keep around.
Yeah.
McKenzie is more of a submission guy. They're on the preliminary card for a reason.
Card. This is the Facebook.
Now, is the video is shown on Facebook?
Yeah, you just go to USC's Facebook page and you can watch it right there.
I don't think that's really that bad.
Oh, it's horrible.
What do you mean?
If you're a fighter, you don't want to be on Facebook. You want to be on the pay-per-view.
No.
You want to be on the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
At least there's always the possibility that if you have an exciting enough fight, though, you could get shown if some of the fights go short.
That is true. It's happened many a time.
I'm saying is technically can't more people reach the internet than can pay for a pay-per-view?
Yeah, but people don't really care about the Facebook fights. They're there for a reason.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Crap.
Well, I mean, you can't watch Facebook in HD. So, you know.
Yeah. There are certain factors. Now, the FX card. What comes out at me is Sarah McMahon, Sheila Gaff.
Yes.
That's looking good to me.
This is an important fight for Sarah McMahon. This is her first time under the bright lights of the USC. She needs a win. Because she's 6-0, she's undefeated. But if she wants to make her case to be Ronda Rousey's next opponent after Kat Zingano, then she needs to have a really definitive win. She's fighting Sheila Gaff, who I haven't seen any of her fights. So my understanding is she used to fight at 125. I do like her nickname though, the German Tank. So I like that.
Why don't I just call her the Panzer?
You know what? You should, seriously.
Zapanza!
Zapanza! Like she said, she had been fighting 125. Sarah McMahon is an Olympic silver medalist in wrestling. Let's face it. You know, the women are not known for their power. So
Except Cyborg.
So it seems... Kat Zingano, to be fair, but... But it seems though that McMahon should be able to overcome this test, and be able to take Gaff down and grind it out by a submission or decision. You know, somebody with that kind of resume seems.
Yeah, I'm going with McMahon as well. Not too much else on the FX card.
No, I mean, I think
I hate OSP.
You hate OSP? I was gonna say.
Oh, I hate him so much.
So you're not down with OSP.
I am not. Okay. So I will not be watching.
You know me.
Now the pay-per-view card. You got Jim Miller. Very impressive with his last fight against Joe Lauzon.
Text message.
Going against Pat Boom Boom Healy.
Yep. Bam Bam Healy.
I said Boom Boom? I meant boom. Bam Bam.
Bam Bam.
Oh, I made a Boom Boom.
My pants.
Yeah.
We both went there.
Could be a very entertaining fight. I think this one is set up to keep Jim Miller on the winning track. He's going to be very aggressive. He's got great striking, well-rounded game on the submission attempts as well. All he's got to do is take Healy down and get the submission.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. So I'm going with Jim Miller.
Yeah, I think Jim Miller's got the momentum. He's really not lost to anybody who isn't really good. His last two losses have been to Nate Diaz and Benson Henderson.
Yeah.
So let's face it, those are good guys. But,
do you think he's back in title contention after this, or he still has to fight his way back?
I can't see him getting into title contention yet. I think he's in the conversation, but there's so, you got that pileup we were kind of talking about. In the lightweight division, there's so many guys that can do things. It's hard to say. I can't see him getting a title shot right away. I think he's in line. I think if he puts on some real exciting fights, real exciting fights can get you big things. can get you to step over some guys who maybe deserve it more.
Okay. Phil Davis, he has a fight. Phil Davis, he has a fight coming up. I don't like the guy either. Lay and pray. That's his game plan.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel? You're like, yeah.
Yeah, sucks. I don't care.
Phil Davis? I mean, Phil Davis is
boring.
Is boring. I don't know. Yeah, he can be. He's one of those guys that I seem to think he should be more exciting than he is.
Yeah, I mean, he does have knockout power, but he doesn't use it.
Yeah, it's just like you get a guy with those kind of physical gifts, and you think he should be knocking guys left and right, and he
should be Jon Jones. Let's face it.
That's a good comparison. You think you look at him and you say he should be Jon Jones, and he's really not.
Not at all. So he's going to win because he's just going to lay on the guy. Roy Nelson, how do you feel? How do you feel about it? I'm sorry, I didn't get your prediction.
Oh yeah, I think Phil Davis. I think this is set up for Phil to try to get moving again, look better.
Frankly, I would have put them on the FX card and put McMahon on the main card.
You know, I agree with you. I think it has much more importance than Phil anything Phil Davis is going to do. You know, that McMahon fight has implications for the title. In a fledgling women's bantamweight division that's really hot right now.
Oh, definitely hot.
You know, I don't know. Whatever. I don't make the matches.
Me neither. Nelson Congo. What do you think?
This is an interesting dichotomy in physiques, don't you think?
I do.
Yeah, Czech Congo is an action figure, and Roy Nelson is the Burger King. Nelson is tough as they come.
Can't knock the guy out.
Cannot knock this guy out. His chin is ridiculous. You look at a guy who's walking around at 250. He's got a gut, scraggy beard, whatever his hair's looking like today. You say, how can this guy be a fighter? And you look at him across from Czech Congo, who is tall, ripped to the gills, just crazy physique.
I think, but in the end, I think Roy Nelson is going to pull this out.
I do too. I think he's going to catch him because Nelson obviously has the power, and he does have a good jiu-jitsu game. If he ever gets it to the ground, he's never had to show it though.
Yeah, he doesn't have to show it. He's used it before, but he never really used. He likes to brawl because he knows he likes to do that. I think it's more of a conscious decision because he knows that's more exciting.
Yeah.
But you know, he's got a very well rounded game. When he's gotten beat, he's gotten outpointed.
Yeah.
He's gotten into the late rounds and gotten tired. Chet Congo is not going to be the guy to do that. Despite Congo's length, his reach, that's not going to be an issue for Nelson because Nelson's gone up against guys like Stefan Struve.
So not going to be an issue.
And Junior Dos Santos for that matter. If Roy Nelson can go five rounds with Junior Dos Santos, I don't really have a concern about him going three rounds with Chet Congo. Or three rounds. I always think it's five-round fight. It was a three-round fight with Junior Santos. But anyway. In any case. Shut up. Anyway.
So stupid.
I know. Anyway. Roy, Congo is just... He seems to pull out wins. But I just don't see him as that strong a fighter. He's kind of the prototypical gatekeeper. The good guys beat him, and the less than good guys get beat by him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that much of a ground game. He's got good boxing, but you know that's going to be his weapon. And Nelson's just difficult to put away, and Nelson's going to be jumping on him.
Oh yeah, Nelson's going to be very aggressive. Yeah,
Nelson.
No, finish your point first.
Nelson's going to eat a punch to go in and land his own.
Oh, yeah.
So I really think that this is Roy Nelson's fight.
Master Fisher wants to know what your problem with crazy beards are. They provide mystical powers.
I have no problem with crazy beards. I'm just making the juxtaposition between an action figure physique and...
I understand. I'm just kind of getting freaked out with this whole beard thing.
Beards! Nothing wrong with beards.
Beards. They're magical.
Beards.
No, they're not.
Johnny Hendricks has a beard. What a nice beard.
Yeah, a very nice beard. Now, co-main event. Michael Bisping taking on Alan Belcher. The talent. I say Belcher has to pull this one off to stay relevant.
I would agree with that sentiment. I think Belcher, if he wants to remain in the conversation for a title shot for the middleweight title, he has to put on a very good showing against Michael Bisping, and that's going to be a tough task. Bisping's a very cerebral fighter. He's got very good evasion. Doesn't really take a lot of risks.
No, he doesn't, and he's very good at that. Eluding the risks.
Yeah, he's very disciplined in his approach. He approaches his fights. And it's not that he doesn't want to finish, but he doesn't fight. He doesn't, as I was saying, not take a risk to try to get the finish.
Yeah,
he's very patient.
Good cardio. He's really a good fighter. It's just that he's such a jerk that people can't, he really is. And people just can't get behind him. I mean, this is the same guy Matt Hamill, after that fight, he was making fun of the guy. Now, Matt Hamill, of course, for those that don't know, he was born deaf, made it to the UFC during the Ultimate Fighter, I think, season 3, along with Bisping. They had their fight after... like a couple of years after the show, and Bisping was mocking him after the fight during the post fight, but he's just always been a jerk. And the only person who really shut him up was who, Omega?
Would that be Dan Henderson?
Yes, Dan Henderson is the only one who shut him up. But anyway,
this Dan Henderson guy sounds like a bad dude.
He is, dude. He is. There's only one person that I think made Dan Henderson look bad, and that was Anderson Silva. But he makes everybody look bad. And it wasn't even that. Henderson won the first round in their fight, and I'm not trying to get too far off the topic, but Henderson won the first round, and then he just got caught, and he got choked out. That's what happened in their fight. And I'd love to see another fight, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think age is too much of a factor. Anyway, getting back. Belcher really has to win. Do I think he will? I'm going to go for Belcher just because I like him that much. But this is really not a decision of the mind. I'm really going with my heart in that pick.
Yeah, I think Bisping's ability to evade and his conditioning is going to make it difficult for Belcher to land the type of power shots he wants to land, and try to put him away. I don't think Belcher needs a KO because I don't think he's going to out-decision Bisping.
I don't think he'll out-decision him. Belcher does have very good ground game, so if he can somehow get it down there, or if Bisping goes for something.
Bisping's got a great scramble, though.
He does, but
Great takedown defense.
I mean, Belcher, we're talking about a guy, he's not a pushover. He has won submission of the night several times, fight of the night. I mean, this is a guy that's very exciting. This is probably why he got the co-main event, because he is that type of exciting fighter. And if he wins this, I think it catapults him where he wants to be. If he loses it, there goes his relevance. So it's a more important fight for Belcher than it is for Bisping.
Well, I'm not sure, because both of these guys are trying. A loss takes them out of the title picture for at least the near term. I think it's probably at least as important for – it may be more important for Belcher because his relevance will be gone if he loses. Yeah. Bisping will always be a name.
Yeah, that's what
he'll
I'm saying.
He's big in England. He'll be on the pay-per-views in the main events of.
Yeah, definitely, and that's my point. I mean, if Bisping loses this is really, I mean, it's so important for him, and I just want him to win so bad, but I don't know if he can, especially after that last fight where he looked so outclassed.
Yeah, Okami really did.
Don't get me started.
Smother him.
Don't get me started. So who are you going for? You're Bisping?
I'm gonna take Bisping in this one, yes.
Damn it! You're usually right. Now the main event, light heavyweight title on the line. Do we even want to talk about it, or do we just want to talk about how outraged we are that Chael Sonnen somehow got a light heavyweight title fight for no reason? Or do we just say John Jones in two?
You know, I want to get on my soapbox and say that this is a waste of everybody's time. I really do. Because this is...
Will it at least be an entertaining fight?
I doubt it. I mean, I think...
You don't think Sonnen has a chance, or is it just going to be like another Anderson Silva replay?
I think it's going to be... I'm not sure if it's going to be an Anderson Silva replay. Because I don't think John Jones has that level of disdain Chael Sonnen. And Jones doesn't have as much to prove as Anderson Silva did in that second fight. You know, Anderson Silva had to make a statement to say this was – he got lucky, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm better than him 9 times out of 10. I don't think Jones has that to prove. I think Jones was going to play with him, though. I think Jones will drag it out for a round. And to your point, in two, John Jones will make this – put this away.
So you don't even
easily.
Think it's going to be like Machida, where people were actually like, oh my goodness, Machida found something that first round. You don't even think it's going to be like that. It's just going to be, well, I mean, the guy's out, he's outweighed, he's really outclassed. He's a middleweight, for God's sakes.
I agree. I mean, this is the middleweight moving up to fight a light heavyweight.
And the champion.
And the champion. It's just, yeah, it's such a... You know, we could be sitting here next Wednesday, and we could be saying, oh, God, we were totally wrong about Chael Sonnen. But I don't think we will.
No,
we're
not on this.
I mean, this is good. You know, everything that I see about this, and we talked about this since this fight was announced, is a colossal waste of our time. It's a waste of Jones' time in the prime of his career. This is a waste of a fight for him. You know, we could have sound we could have seen, you know, any number of better fights for this. You know, in the light heavyweight division has, you know, we could have seen Dan Henderson.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, Glover Teixeira and, you know, Machida, to your point. I mean, this is, instead we're wasting our time with Chael Sonnen, a man who hasn't fought in light heavyweight division in years. It boggles my mind. I hate it, you know, and you know, even we talk about this as stacked card. I'm seriously don't think I'm going to buy this card because I don't want to waste $50 on that main event.
Really? But I think the rest of the card's all right.
I agree, but I mean, is there anything on that card that makes me want to plop down my money? Jim Miller and Roy Nelson could probably make me do it, but part of me wants to do a protest here, you know?
Yeah.
And say, look, I'm not, you know, I'm willing to pay money for your fights. I'm a hardcore fight fan. I'm going to spend my money, but you got to at least give me something. You know, don't insult my intelligence, you know?
Well, I think the Belcher Bisping fight is going to be really good, so... not that I would buy it, because Comcast still hasn't given me cable yet, so.
well, there's a problem.
Yeah, not that I would buy it, but, I do want to see it, so I'm not sure. I think it's worth it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I just, it's the first, you know, that... This fight just puts a very sour taste on my my mouth. I just can't. I don't like it.
Well, you know,
I mean, I get why they did it. I get it. I mean, I get.
Well, Sonnen is a draw, right?
And maybe he will be a draw, but I just don't. For me, it's not a draw for me. I was fine with Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva too. I was fine with Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva 1. This doesn't work for me.
Okay, and I can agree with that. What are we going to do now? I think we're going to listen to some Mystery Men because that's what we normally do about this time. So, yeah, gear up. Oh, who are we picking? I guess it's unanimous. We're both picking.
yeah, I'm picking John Jones.
Very well. I am as well. 2 rounds, and see you later. Chael Sonnen, he, you know what? One comment I do want to make, he might be the first guy that lost a fight in a championship fight in one division and went right to another.
Probably so.
Yeah. So he'll be the first person to lose 2 title fights.
Well, wait a minute. What about Dan Henderson?
Did he? Oh, you. Coming up, it's the Mystery Men with Gear Up. You son of a... All right, we're back. Some technical difficulties that we have there. That was on my end this time. Well, no, that was on my end. Shut up, Dan. So, we're good.
Dean.
Yeah, we're good now. So, Dan, what I wanted to talk about now.
Oh, you're talking to me now.
Are you feeling left out, Dan?
No, I just, to shut up, and I got confused for a second.
Well, because you were going to go on the tirade against Blog Talk.
I was not.
What were you going to say then, Dan?
I was simply going to say, what? Hell in the Cell and technical difficulties? Never.
Well, that's even better.
I don't know what you were.
Anyway, Dan, of course, this past Saturday, New Moon Rising Wrestling presented Conquest.
Woohoo!
Now, in the main event, we'll get to the main event in a minute.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
We'll get to the main event in a minute. Now, of course, Bandido Jr. made his debut for New Moon Rising Wrestling, and he picked up the win over Junior Flo. What do you think of that one?
Yeah, watching, I've seen Bandido wrestle twice before, and I think he's one of the best on the indie circuit. Just the things he can do on his feet are incredible. I don't know what much to say about it.
Yeah, he picked up the win. And
I mean, considering it was a surprise in the first place, quite honestly.
Yeah, it was. We were doing the live pre-show. And
they're doing the show, and we looked to the left, and
There he was, Bandido Jr.
Support Bandido.
Yes, hashtag support Bandido. I do have a caller, and I believe I know who this is. It's the man who loves his dodgeball. Brady, how are you?
What's going on? What's going on, guys?
Not too much. How are you?
I do love my dodgeball. There's nothing wrong with that.
Certainly not. We're going to get past that right now, but Brady. Bandido Jr.
Yes.
Debuting. Your thoughts?
It's got to be an exciting thing for everybody in New Moon, for sure. I mean, I was excited to see the guy. It's been a long time, It's a great thing. Any chance you have to upgrade your roster in any way, it's certainly something that you want to do.
Yeah, and I certainly, like you said, that's the perfect word. I think it is an upgrade.
Yeah, and the best part was, nobody really had to be cut as part of that upgrade. It was an addition through addition.
Yeah, and now later on, and Dan, I'll start this off with you. Later on, we had Bandido Jr. apparently joined Damian Adams and Larry Lawson to beat down Frankie Flo.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I was left really scratching my head at the end of that situation. I really don't know what to make of that, especially from Bandido.
Well, you haven't seen Bandido is, not everywhere he goes. He's not a nice guy.
He's a bad person.
Yeah. Part of Four Loko in CZW with Chrissy Rivera. So showing that side of his personality, I think, for the New Moon crowd. Now, Brady, what do you think of that moment?
It is great to see the real Bandido emerge. I mean, this is the Bandido that we all know behind the scenes. He's a jerk, Dean. Be honest.
Oh, stop it, Brady.
No, not at all.
I don't know what you're
talking about. He's a jerk. Look what Yeah, I mean, you saw what he did to Frankie Flo. How can you piss off somebody's dad like that?
He did piss off Frankie Flo, So I don't know. I don't know what's going to come out of this. Some type of maybe the Argyle Express will live in New Moon Rising Wrestling. You never know.
I would like to see Four Loko in New Moon Rising.
It doesn't seem that's... but I don't know. Who knows, Dan? Every month it's a new surprise.
I'm working on it.
Now, Steve Zaff defeated Mike Madoff by reverse decision. That master official decided to, after Madoff won, decided to reverse the decision. Dan,
Oh, he was beating on the poor kid after he beat the match. He proved his point during the match that, you know, he's a bigger man and he can beat him, you know, without breaking a sweat. And then he beats on the poor kid after the match. What point did that have to prove?
Deservedly so. Did you hear what?
No, why deservedly so?
Did you see what? Did you hear what Steve Zaff said to Mike Madoff?
He deserved it.
Exactly. He did deserve it, Dan.
No. Mike Madoff deserved it.
No. The master official, he I don't know. He just gets these things
you know
in
what?
His head.
Why don't you and Harry join a club together where you can be jerks together?
Brady, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, it's ironic because everyone's assuming, or at least you sound like you're assuming, that Mike Madoff got the shaft in that match in a way. But
oh, he
I
certainly
don't think
did.
That he, but I don't think that he necessarily cared about winning. Like, I think for me, for him, it was more about sending a message, and he clearly sent that message to Steve Zaff. Whether or not Zaff's going to listen moving forward in this series of grudge matches, I heard it was a best of 99 or something.
It is. Shades of that great Nikita Koloff Magnum TA series. We're going to see
oh,
it here.
Oh, certainly.
Best of,
certainly.
Yeah, best.
Which one is which?
Hashtag shoot.
Anyway,
no, seriously. Like, I mean, you know, Mike Madoff, he sent the message that he wanted to send. I made a comment last month about the Legion of Anarchy, and I think it applies to Mike Madoff, too. I don't think he cares about wins and losses or winning title belts. I think he just wants to go there and spread pain, and Steve Zaff, for whatever reason, has become his primary target.
Oh, you know who wants to talk? The master official.
Good, bring him on.
How are you, sir?
How could you possibly say I made the wrong call? The man was taking a Lysol can and pounding into a young man's ribs.
I just want you to point out who said you made the wrong call and who said you made the right call.
It was the wrong call.
Cujo has some integrity.
Mike Madoff win? Did he get the 1-2-3?
He absolutely did. And
okay, that's enough.
I gave him three warnings to break up the
He gave
the
him three
afterwards.
Warnings, and he gave him 20 extra seconds to back off before he gave him the three warnings. I was there.
I was there too, Dan.
Yeah,
and,
stop buying your headphones.
In my view, I think it was the wrong call. Mike Madoff, you know.
Skewed.
I don't know.
Well, you get hired to talk behind the microphone, and I get paid to be in the ring.
Oh, you.
Oh, damn.
You good for nothing. Now, O-Dog defeated Ron Starr in a restraining order match. Thank God for that. Because, you know, look, Ron Starr, I agree with his methods, but the madness I don't agree with. Dan, how do you feel?
I don't know. It kind of scares me. He kind of makes me nervous when he comes out there, the way he acts around Sienna.
He took
no
a sign.
No means no.
Yeah, he took a sign, Dan, that had Sienna Duvall's, it said Sienna Duvall, it was a poster for her. He took that sign and cuddled it as he left the ring.
Cuddled it? He was molesting it.
Well, I call it cuddling. Anyway.
That's what,
Brady,
no means no.
Brady, how do you feel about it?
Well, Dan, isn't it true that
Spoonie.
You have like the, you have the neighborhood sex offenders app for your phone, right?
Well, yes, for more than one reason, I do.
I thought so. Yeah, is Ron listed in there?
Ron is listed right there, the opposite end of the list of that other person.
Is he
actually,
holding a bag of Doritos? You know, I want to
page.
Applaud. I want to.
They're on the same page, actually.
I want to applaud O-Dog and Sienna Duvall for finally. Vanquishing Ron Starr, and I hope that he lives up to the terms of his pre-match agreement.
I was going to say, not that I agree with anything Ron Starr does, especially that poor sign, but what makes you think he's going to listen to this?
What, the restraining order?
Well, he can get arrested now. He can get arrested now, can he?
Yeah.
Did you see
he
anything?
He didn't get arrested for kidnapping her.
Apparently not.
Thank you. I mean, did you see any police officers around the New Moon Rising Wrestling Programs? No.
I haven't seen any since December when we donated the toys.
Let's not talk about that.
And they didn't even stop some poor schmuck from stealing the toys.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, sorry, Gene. I'm sorry.
Now, moving on.
I said schmuck.
Justin America and Beverly Berwick defeated the American Fatnik and LJ Cruz.
You know, you're an idiot.
I'm not.
You are.
Have you heard this guy talk, Dan?
Yes, I have.
How long did that promo go on, Dan?
Listen, I love Roughneck. Good guy. God. He has integrity, something you don't have, apparently.
He kicks puppies, Dan.
He has a backbone. He makes women cry. He has a backbone, which apparently you don't have. I can't even continue on with this. Forget it.
All right, Brady, how do you feel about that one?
I told the American Roughneck, so I don't feel bad saying this on the radio right now.
Unbelievable.
But there was a match later on in the night that actually had a 15-minute time limit, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. I wish that Cliff Light had gotten on the microphone during Roughneck's promo and said, 2 minutes left, 2 minutes left, 1 minute, 1 minute left, because I feel like this promo went on for 2 hours, and I told him that.
We're just filling up time, brother.
We're waiting on things behind the scenes.
We're waiting on things behind the curtain.
It sounds like a hybrid of Captain Dave and Kevin Sullivan. I will give credit to Captain Dave because his notes are what I was able to compile the results from for the New Moon Rising Wrestling website. So I will give Captain Dave some credit there.
The Captain Dave Network. Now,
we have new
New Moon Rising Wrestling Tag Team Champions, of course. Damian Dragon retiring. Matt Saigon wasn't even there. Relinquishing the tag titles. Don Warren stripping them of the titles, I suppose.
You know, listen, we don't agree on a lot, but we will agree on this. Don Warren does not make good decisions.
Don Warren, I'm not getting into that. I'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
Hashtag fire Warren.
Yes.
Hashtag
fire Warren. Yes.
Heels and baby faces alike are joining to fire you.
Reunite.
We unite
for one cause. Mutants, X2. The mutants unite to take out one.
Now, anyway, Legion of Anarchy defeated highly entertaining wrestlers and Smooth Aggression to win the vacant tag titles, and they did it in very convincing fashion once they finally got into the ring.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying, tag team wrestling is alive and well in the indie circuit, and for $10 alone, you saw a three-way match between three of the top tag teams in South Jersey, if not in indie wrestling, and you got your money's worth. So that alone is reason enough to come to the next show to see a hell of a tag team division and to see the tag team champions.
That's right, and they are a very good tag team. What do you think, Legion of Anarchy? Who can stop them, Brady?
I don't know that anyone can stop them at this point, Dean. You know, I thought for a while there maybe the Gunners, maybe they had a chance, but you think about it, and Tyrino, he's already been plowed through by the Legion of Anarchy. They're 4-0 since they've teamed up, and Luis the Punisher Martinez only has one loss since the reboot, and that's a very tainted loss. So I don't know that anybody has what it takes to stop these guys. Maybe Don Warren. Don Warren might be able to stop them. That's about
hey,
it.
Hey, just shut the lights off again, Don Warren.
Just make a special announcement about them. That's all you need to do, Don.
Yeah. I'm just going to say we are letting up the titles, and that's it. Good night.
Damien Adams pinned Frankie Flo, and of course Bandido Jr., after the match, joined Damien Adams in stopping him down. Man. We already talked about that a little bit. We already talked in great detail the Tremont and Crazy Ivan match. The one question I do have for the Master Official, what's it like being in the middle of all that chaos?
Frightening is the first word that comes to mind. Tremont and Ivan, if you get a chance to look in their eyes when they're in the middle of battle, it's a darkness that you don't want to comprehend. That they're scary, they're violent, and you know, after being knocked unconscious the last time they met, I never felt safe the entire time in there.
Yeah.
I would like to take a seat inside Tremont's mind for a couple days and see what it's like really in there.
Or
I bet you I bet, no, not Ivan. I really don't want to hit myself for 4 hours. I think Tremont's got it together more than we believe. You know what I'm trying to say?
I do.
Okay. Thank you for your silence and backing me up on that one. Appreciate it.
Now in the main event, the Burgundy, the Rotunda
the
Brigade.
The Rotund Brigade.
Shut your mouth, dude.
And, of course, that was...
Shut up, dude.
That was, of course, Mark Angel, Nathan Avery, and the newest member, the lawyer who is so good, he files injunctions for monetary damages.
I didn't know you could do that.
You can't. But anyway,
oh,
he's so
good. I didn't
good.
Pass my bar.
Yeah, neither did he. They defeated Tank, the Dummy Toland, Ty Reno, and Blackie, the Shields, when Pat Walsh, the newcomer, pinned Blackie after a super kick.
Nice super kick,
too. Super kicks.
Yeah, two super kicks. Now,
hey, you know what? In all honesty, Pat Walsh showed me something in there. He impressed me. He didn't impress me with his legal skills, but he impressed me with his wrestling ability.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't Pat Walsh who said that he was filing an injunction for monetary
yes,
damages.
To be fair,
it
shut
was.
Up. Shut up, Dean. I know what you know what I meant. It's an expression.
It certainly was. A big win for the Burgundy Brigade there. Brady, your feelings...
Everything's big about the Burgundy Brigade.
Certainly is. How do you feel about that win for the Burgundy Brigade, Brady?
Shut up, Brady.
A huge, huge, huge win for the pear-shaped Slim Burgundy. I'm really proud of the guy. I mean, he's taken a bunch of guys that they've struggled individually. It's like that old analogy, you know, the bundle of sticks, you know. Each one of them, maybe, Nathan Avery, Mark Angel, Pat
Are
Walsh, Mike Reed. In a singles match, maybe that one stick isn't strong enough and might be broken. But when you bundle sticks together, did you ever try to break, like, five or six sticks at the same time? Especially when one of them is, like, as thick as a log? Think about that. You can't break
sticks
that are bundled together. And
yeah,
that's what the Burgundy Brigade
like
are. They're a bundle of big, fat sticks.
Well, there you are.
You could have said it better about Slim Burgundy and a bundle of sticks.
I certainly agree, Brady. Now, a little bit of controversy for you, Master Official. Normally, I wouldn't bring this to the attention, especially so far after the match, but Pat Walsh did have his feet on the ropes, sir. It seems you missed that.
I'm going to have to say that didn't happen, because I would have thought that.
Well, I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I know we made a connection, but I am going to have to say I saw that.
No, come on. I don't miss calls like that.
No, I think if you cut your hair, you'd be able to see and hear better.
My hair is fine, it's my beard that's long.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's clouding up your head there.
Now...
Shut up, Fisher. Shut up.
Now, after the match was done, I decided, because of last week, Tank and I felt, you know, he hung up. He was pretty upset. I tried to reach out to him through email, phone, text messages. He wouldn't answer.
Well, because he had that thing to do.
Well, yeah. But, so, I decided to go into the ring after the match. Probably not the smartest move I ever made. And, you know, trying to bury the hatchet. Now, during the course of this time, he was very close to shaking my hand. Did anybody notice that?
I was inches from shaking your hand.
He's a gentleman. He was going to shake your hand because that's what he does.
We were going to let bygones be bygones. He wasn't going to be the dummy anymore. He was going to be our champion. Then Cliff Light delivers a package to the ring. Inside was a chainsaw. Brady, Dan, first of all, your thoughts as you were recording this as it happened.
My thoughts on the chainsaw? I don't know what's going on. I don't know who's behind it, but this will be the one time where I say, you know, I think it's bad timing for you to be in the ring when that happened. And this time, he did actually put your hands on you this time. Now,
yeah.
I'm going to shut it.
Yeah, you did. It's assault. New Jersey code.
Get Pat Walsh to represent you.
I'll steel horse him. I don't care.
He didn't put your hands on you before, but he certainly put your hands on you this time. And I just saying, whatever's going on with the video and the box with the chain. What's in the box? And the chainsaw. You happen to be wrong place, wrong time. That's not your fault. But somebody's got to get to the bottom of what's going on here.
I know nothing.
I'm just saying, for your safety, and I'm going to have to agree with you this time. Like I said, he did put your hands. Just stay away from him, dude, and stop antagonizing him.
Now, Brady, your thoughts
Shut up, Brady.
From the commentator's table, as this was going down, I've heard the commentary that you delivered during that time. Just go back to that moment in time.
I'm having such a hard time replaying the moment in my own head. To see the expression on Tank Tolan's face when he opens a box and pulls out you use a chainsaw to cut through trees.
Through shirts,
too. Who would do that? Who would? I mean, obviously we know Cliff Light would bring it out, but who would be behind it? Because you know Cliff Light didn't do it.
Why didn't Tank? That's my question. Why didn't Tank attack the guy who brought it? I'm just minding my own business.
You didn't want to kill the messenger.
I'll just say maybe because he thinks he's had problems with you in the past. Maybe he thinks you have something to do with it. I don't know how you would.
Who in their demented mind would send a chainsaw? Who?
I don't know.
What kind of
message
was that? I don't
think he was thinking
sent?
At all. If you watched Tank Tolan's eyes change from the good spirits he was in to the moment he pulled that chainsaw out of the box.
I thought he was going to kill you, Dean.
I thought so too. I'm replaying the moment where he grabbed my tie.
Did your life flash before your eyes, and was it interesting?
It was very interesting.
Okay, good.
I can say Donnie Warren never moved any faster because he was in there at the same time as me trying to pull him off you.
Well,
come on, Anthony, let's go get him.
I'll put it this way. Don Warren knows better because I have the law firm of Lundy & Lundy behind me.
Oh, God.
So, no, I don't have Walsh.
Action?
Yeah, I don't have Walsh & Burgundy. I have Lundy & Lundy. LundyLaw.com. Now, these guys, luckily I was able to get pulled. And I do have to thank you, Master Official. I do have to thank you because if it wasn't for your quick thinking, and, you know, as much as I hate to say Don Warren's, I might have been a goner.
Wasn't that quick.
Yeah, you
not
might
you,
have turned that chainsaw on you.
Warren.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
I said he may have turned that chainsaw on you in the way he was feeling at that moment, so there was no doubt in my mind I had to rush in to make sure nothing happened there.
And as I'm leaving, I'm just simply leaving the building at this point for my own safety. He's yelling at me. You think this is fun? Are you behind? What? He's a madman. Can't you people see this?
No. Now you're trying to twist this now.
I'm not twisting anything.
I think you just got caught in the moment. I mean, how many times have you been threatened with a weapon? Right. Okay. My point is that he lost control because somebody threatened him, and you happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, I wouldn't have gone in the ring to try to apologize to him. I would have waited until after the show. I knew what you were going for because he just won the match. You figured he was in a good mood.
Well, no, he just lost the match, but he was still in a good mood.
He was still in a good mood.
That was the New Moon Rising Wrestling. I hate to point that out. It does count. Did he win the match? Did he win PG-13? No. Did he win that match? No. He's 6-2.
Singles matches, he's undefeated.
Brady? Brady?
Don't know. Yes. Brady. Not his show.
What is his record? What is Tank Tolan's
record?
Excuse
me, the host is calling upon me. I believe he's 6-2.
Blah, blah, blah.
Let me think. Well, he lost at PG-13. He at Fallout, he beat Justin America. In December, he won by disqualification over Jake.
Yeah.
In January, he won the Brawl for It All. In February, he defeated Mike Reed.
Yeah.
No, I'm off a month. I missed a month somewhere. I believe he's 6-2.
Yeah, Ides of March, of course.
Yeah.
You're missing February. Yeah, February.
February he wasn't there.
Yes.
So he's probably 5-2.
5-2.
You sure about
that,
everybody?
Right? Yeah.
Sure
October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 7, yeah.
I'm going to prove you wrong,
no,
but I don't have
no, he's 4.
Right.
Now, Dean, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
On your Facebook page, you did put up on April 19th that you personally can't wait to find out who was behind the videos.
I'm very curious.
But that was because you figured that they had their sights set on Tank Tolan. Do you think those words could have maybe instigated his anger a little bit? That maybe he thinks you're excited about this person coming after him?
Master Official, we're running out of time here.
Tank Tolan is 4-2, by the way.
Thank you, Brady.
Tank Tolan is 4-2.
To answer the question, I personally think that Hank went too far.
You know what? I think you know more than you're letting on there, Dino.
Whatever.
I don't disagree that he went too far, and that's why I jumped in. I'm just saying there might be a reason that he is connecting you to this in some way or form.
I'm simply a commentator. Like I told him that night, I'm simply a commentator.
You gotcha. Next time, give him a few more seconds.
I might have to.
Dan, knock it off.
Well, Dean, to be fair,
yeah.
Who else would Tank Toland assume did it? I mean, Jake Bishop is retired and reasonably wouldn't still be harassing Tank. Dustin America clearly has his own stuff going on. I mean, who would be doing this?
It would be
who
Jake.
Would be doing it? Perhaps just
yeah. Besides you, who's been a thorn in his side since October.
Perhaps
it is Jake.
His former tag team partner with the Dicks.
It's not that talented.
Are you serious?
Perhaps someone he has slighted throughout his time. We're talking a world-traveled guy here.
You mean like an announcer who said when he met him that he insulted him and slighted him?
No. I know what you guys are trying to do. You're trying to come at me. You're trying to twist it all around. No. I mean, Tank Tolan, while I may have my issues with him, how he's treated me in the past, I admire the guy. I'll say it. I admire the guy.
God, Dean.
I do.
I have to admit, though, I certainly don't think Dean is the person behind this because I don't think he'd have the guts to go after Tank physically in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, come on, people. I'm sure Tank Tolan has made plenty of enemies along this long journey of professional wrestling. Now, Master Official, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say there hasn't been anything physical. It's just been all mind games, which is right up your alley, Dino.
Look, the Dean of Credibility does not need to do these type of, things.
I'm just saying, usually I try to be on your side, but you did call out to him, Mr. Host.
I called out to who?
Brady. And he's just leaving you hanging.
Well, no. I don't have these. Why would I? I am simply employed to be a commentator. I saw the moment. I saw Tank in the ring. He cleared the ring. Luckily, taking care of Slim Burgundy, which I say bravo, Tank.
Oh, yeah, really.
Bravo.
Thank you. Next time, kill him.
Yes. And I was very happy in that moment. He was in a very good mood. And I thought, hey, this is my chance to bury the hatchet. Bury it.
I think you're going to bury it right into the back of his neck.
Oh, stop it, Dan. Now, Master Official, where can the fine people find you? We're running out of time here.
You can find me on Twitter at MasterOfficialG. And you can friend me on Facebook at MasterGigante.
That's how you say it.
Gigante.
Okay.
Gigante.
Okay, so thank you for calling in. Thank you for clearing up some things. But no thank you for those questions. You have
a good
night, sir.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
You're off, Gigante.
He certainly does. Now, Brady, the same goes for you. I heard you had a great show last night. Why don't you plug it right here?
Thank you, Dean. In the room every Tuesday night, 9:30, 8:30 Central, WDMD Philly and VBradyHicks.com. Give us a call. We take callers live for 2 whole hours.
Brady,
sorry,
why
I'm
do
starting
you,
to fade.
That's okay. Why do you let Harry on?
I like Harry. He's controversial. He's entertaining.
Mm. Okay.
He doesn't like me, but I like him.
Oh, well. He didn't like me either. I don't know what we did.
I don't know either.
We had an extended conversation with you, Dan.
Huh?
I'm only kidding, buddy.
No, I missed that. I missed what you said.
I said
he
probably
said
just had an
extended. Oh, yeah, I'm following you now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Brady, thank you for coming on and going over Conquest with us.
Thanks.
And, hey, Brady, why don't we plug it right now? We're going to be the Dean of Cradle's Ability makes his return.
I just got it.
To the fine state of Delaware. The Beast Pro Wrestling, we're going to call the action.
You're going to Delaware?
Yes.
We signed. The ink is still wet on the contract, Dean, but I am so excited. We're going to go down to Dover, do a little bit of gambling, meet some women. Right, Marion? We're going to do it all. And then we're going to call the action.
We're not going to beat anyone.
For the biggest wrestling show this weekend in Delaware.
I have to agree. It's going to be...
If it doesn't snow.
Brady.
If it doesn't snow. Cross your fingers.
He was thinking the same thing I was.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
It's an April snowstorm. You never know.
I mean, I'm a Roman Catholic. We have this tradition. You put the Virgin Mary in the window, the statue, to look outside and make sure it doesn't rain or snow. That's what we need. I got to put Mary in the window.
Isn't that when you're selling the house? Or is that when you bury her upside down in the backyard?
I don't even know what you're talking about, Dan.
When you're trying to sell your house, you have to bury the Virgin Mary upside down in your backyard or something. I'm serious.
Flaming fire.
I never heard that.
No, I'm serious.
You're not supposed
flaming.
To. It's a relic.
Flaming fire in my ass. That's it. Yeah, screw you guys.
Flaming fire.
I'm going to flaming fire in your face.
It's a relic. It's sacred.
You don't bury a relic. Anyway.
It's a book.
Are you supposed to burn all your American flags when you move, too?
Brady, it's always a pleasure.
Can we hang up on it, please?
I'll see you on
see you
Saturday, fine, sir.
I'm serious.
Okay, so that was
I'm not
Brady.
The only one. Screw you guys. I'm seriously pissed off. Let's end this puppy.
Dan's pissed. We've got to end the podcast.
I've never heard of it, Dan.
Well, look it up. Don't shoot me down before you burn.
I'm doing it right now. Burying the Virgin.
No, don't do that because you're going to come up with...
Well,
you cannot see that.
Let's say, burying the Virgin Mary. The tomb. Now it's all about... It's all about where she was buried. That's all I'm finding. Where was she buried? But where is Mother Mary buried? Okay. Let's try when you move. When you move.
Ha!
Have
a great aunt who was very into spiritualism in the old family farm. She buried a statue of the Virgin Mary upside down. Does anyone know what that means? Has something to do with selling your property. Oh, you got to bury the St. Joseph statue upside down, facing away from your house, not the Virgin Mary statue.
Well, there you go.
Well, at least I wasn't off.
So it's the Virgin Joseph. Was he a virgin? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you never hear about the Virgin Joseph.
At least it was based off of something I had heard once.
So, Chris, now that we have lost all our Romans... Oh, you have breaking news. Chris, go ahead.
I have breaking news.
Wait. You know what? We do have...
Play the theme, man. You got to play
the theme. Breaking news.
Almost played Breaker's Epic Christmas.
Put it on.
There you go, buddy.
All right, well, John Anik just retweeted a tweet from AJ Perez from Fox Sports who says that Matt Mitrione's suspension is lifted and he will fight Brendan Schaub at UFC on Fox 8.
Ooh.
So that was a short suspension.
It was a short suspension, one that really didn't do anything. And he's rewarded with, well, I guess the fans are rewarded with a fight no one gives a damn about.
Yeah.
Thanks for the breaking news.
That was 2 weeks. God, 2 weeks.
Well, Fallon Fox, she's fighting. Is it this weekend? Like Friday?
No, I think it's next week. Not till May, I don't believe.
Okay, yeah, she's in the semifinals or something of this tournament that's going on.
Yeah, going to be on Access TV, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Legacy Fighting Champion, not Legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's something, whatever she's fighting at.
It's not Legacy, it's something else.
Yeah.
It's a small promotion, one of the regionals. But Chris, thank you so much for that breaking news.
Oh boy.
Now, where can the fine people find you, Chris?
The fine people can find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
Dan? Where can people find you?
Buried in the backyard, facing the house. DanLaw83.
Now, you can find me at Folsom County. You can find the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com.
Updated Austin blog.
Yes, indeed. You can follow the Twitter, HIACTalkRadio, the Facebook, HIACTalkRadio, and so much more. We'll be at Beast this weekend, and then from there, we are busy, busy, busy. We're going to be back at Riot Pro. Oh,
maybe you shouldn't go.
Just
doing a podcast, folks.
Just doing a podcast.
Keep that in mind.
We don't want any heat.
Trouble anymore.
No trouble.
No sorry.
But until next week, when we have Black Magic Shaka on the show. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. I can't wait to talk to him. So, until next week, you guys have a good one.
And I'm going to look back at him and whisper, no.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down. Tell him that God's gonna cut him down.